Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of bringing your word out to the world. And pray, Heavenly Father, your blessing upon our recording today, that, Lord, that what we say and do would be encouraging and strengthening to others, Lord, that we would put our faith and trust in you, and Lord, let you guide and direct us in all that we say and do. Help us, Heavenly Father, to let your light shine and be a witness for you. In your name we pray, amen.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning us in today. This is the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you by the Clear Creek Congregation. At this time, Tom and Joanne Detweiler are coming. They're going to be singing Fill Me Now.
Come and fill me now. Fill me now. no batteries. My 2-year-old grandson was fascinated by the bubbling mud pool, the result of geothermal activity in Rotorua, New Zealand. On moving to another spot and seeing no bubbles there, he remarked, "No batteries?" He was so accustomed to his electronic toys that he attributed even natural phenomena to battery power. Christians can make a similar mistake. They look to their own puny power to live righteous lives, but the high moral and ethical standards of a holy God prove impossible to live up to. The result is joyless Christians, hopelessly burdened and defeated. Paul's prayer for the believers in Ephesus was that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. He wanted them to see that the power available to help them live God-honoring lives is the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. The power to live according to God's standards comes only when we plug into his inexhaustible power. How do we do that? By daily seeking his face and asking him to fill us with his blessed Holy Spirit. The light of the world knows no power failure.
It's easy to say the words, but sometimes it's harder to do it, letting God have his own way in our heart and lives. And we need to realize that we need him to help us if we're going to do that. We want to live for him. We need his power. We need his strength. We need his guidance every day. We want to say thank you once again for tuning us in today. This is the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you over WSKE 104.3 FM. Once again, Tom and Joanne Detweiler are coming. They're going to be singing "Breathe on Me, Breath of God."
Love and do what thou wouldst blows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternal.
In just a moment, our pastor's wife is going to be giving the children's story. But just before that, the group is going to be singing, Cleanse Me.
Little things. Mom, I need new shoes, Chloe declared as her mother came in the door after work. Chloe, let me catch my breath, her mother said, putting down her laptop computer and a file folder. Chloe fidgeted for a moment while her mother listened to telephone messages. Now, said Mrs. Archer, what do you need shoes for?
I just need them, said Chloe. I bought a new top and skirt, and I don't have any shoes that look good with them, the new outfit.
So can I have some money? I already know what I want to buy.
Mrs. Archer quickly shook her head. No, I'm sorry, but you will have to make do with what you have. You have been asking for money all the time lately. I will give you a job if you want to work, though.
Chloe knew about the paying jobs her mother had in mind. Chloe did not get paid for regular family responsibilities, like keeping her room clean doing her own laundry, loading the dishwasher, and taking her turn cutting the grass. To earn money, she had to do jobs that her parents would actually pay someone else to do, like painting the trim on the house or detailing the cars. "What do you have in mind?" Chloe asked. "I'll pay you $10 to clean the garage floor and the driveway," said Mrs. Archer. "There is no skill involved. Just follow the directions on the box of cement cleaner. I heard your father talking about getting someone to help repair some of the lawn chairs. He may give you that job." Chloe was not happy with the prospects. Both jobs sounded like a lot of work. She already felt she had too much to do around the house, but she really wanted the new shoes. "I'll do the garage floor," she said. It would not be enough to buy the shoes that she wanted, but if she earned part of the money, maybe her mother would let her borrow the rest. Chloe started on the garage floor right away. At first, it was fun to see the stains from oil and mud melt away under the stream from the hose, but it quickly became boring. By the time the job was half done, Chloe was sorry she had taken it. She turned off the hose and went for a bike ride. "I see you changed your mind about working," Mrs. Archer said when Chloe returned. Chloe shrugged. "It wasn't much fun. I did about half the job. Can I have $5? "It doesn't work like that, Chloe," said Mrs. Archer. "A job half done is no job at all. You also left the hose out and sprayed some water on the box of concrete cleaner. That will have to be spread out to dry now." Chloe heaved a big sigh, but she went to the garage and spread the cleaner out on a sheet of plastic. Then she rolled up the hose. "All that work for nothing," she thought. "It's not fair." When Chloe went back into the house, she found her mother talking with a neighbor, Mrs. Bowerman. "Chloe," said Mrs. Archer, "Mrs. Bowerman's looking for someone to stay with her daughter, Francine, for a few hours in the afternoon. She thought you might be interested in the job." Chloe's face brightened. "Sure, I like Francine. She's so cute. How much would I make?" "I'll pay you $5 an hour," said Mrs. Bowerman. "Can you start working tomorrow?" Chloe began calculating how she would spend her newfound fortune. There were so many things she wanted, clothes and magazine subscriptions and supplies for scrapbooking. If she made enough, she might even give some for the summer missions team from church. Chloe arrived at the Bowerman home the next day as planned, but Francine was not happy when her mother left. She began to cry. "She'll be all right," said Mrs. Bowerman. "Read her a story." After Francine had quieted down, Chloe turned on the television and watched several food shows. Francine played alone. For the next few days, the routine was the same. Chloe spent her hours at the Bowermans watching television or reading and yelling at Francine to stay out of trouble. Mrs. Bowerman suggested activities that Francine enjoyed, but Chloe did not want to play games. Chloe was happy with her first paycheck of $25 and immediately spent the whole amount on new shoes for the party. After that, she found she did not really want to go back to babysitting. She asked Mrs. Bowerman whether she could have a day off. "Chloe, you've been working for only 5 days," said Mrs. Bowerman. "Why do you need a day off?" "It's hard being with Francine all the time," Chloe said. "She isn't very good company, you know." Mrs. Bowerman smiled slightly. "Yes, it is a challenge to care for children. Maybe this is not the right job for you." Quickly, Chloe said, "Oh, I want to keep the job. It's just that I may not want to do it every day." "It would be great," said Mrs. Bowerman, "if I didn't have to go to work every day. Then I could be with Francine, which is what I really want to do. But a job demands commitment. If I can't depend on you, I'll have to look for someone else." "I'll do it," said Chloe. Mrs. Bowerman paused a moment and then said, "Since we are talking, there is another problem. It seems you're spending most of your time watching television. I had expected you might do a bit of housework, like washing the bath towels or loading the dishwasher, even though I did not ask you to do that, but I did ask you to spend time in activities with Francine. We don't want her watching television during the day. That must stop." Chloe felt insulted. "I wouldn't watch anything that was bad for Francine," she said. "Besides, she's usually playing on the swing set or with toys in the basement." Mrs. Bowerman nodded. "Yes, I know. But I want a sitter who cares about her and will make an effort to be a positive influence." Chloe gave a curt nod. "I'll see you tomorrow," she said. At home, however, Chloe was angry. "She wants me to work like a slave for only $5 an hour," she complained to her parents and older brother. "It isn't as if this were a real job. It's only babysitting." Her brother offered no sympathy. "You took the job," he said. "Deliver the goods or quit, or you just might get fired." "Everyone wants money," said Mr. Archer, "but not many people want to work. You know that story Jesus told his disciples about the servants who were given money to invest for their master. The lesson there is that if you are faithful in small things, God will entrust you with bigger things." "But it's only babysitting," Chloe said. "It isn't as if this job were a calling from God." "It might be," said Mrs. Archer. "Francine is old enough to understand Bible stories and sing praise songs, if you would make the effort. But just as important, you have to learn to work wherever God puts you. All through the book of Proverbs, we read that laziness is a proven path to failure." The word stung Chloe's pride. She did not think of herself as lazy. Could it be true? It was not a label she wanted to wear. She began praying that God would help her change her attitude and her work. The next time Chloe went to stay with Francine, she took along a Bible storybook. She was amazed to see how much Francine enjoyed hearing the stories. When Francine went to play in her miniature kitchen, Chloe went along and pretended to be a guest for dinner. Francine laughed delightedly. Then together they unloaded the dishwasher and put away the clean dishes. Chloe realized that instead of being bored all day, she had actually had fun. The time passed so quickly that Chloe was startled when Mrs. Bowerman arrived. "We had so much fun," Francine cried, jumping around. Suddenly, Chloe understood there were rewards for work other than money.
Well, there are a number of lessons that you can learn from this story here about this young lady. You can learn about being satisfied with what you have, but also the being working and getting satisfaction from what you do. There are a lot of people that work and they just don't care at all for the work that they're doing. They may have messed around and that's the only job they could possibly get now. But if you love what you're doing, the old saying is you'll never work a day in your life. Well, last week I asked the question, where was it that Jacob wrestled with the angel? Well, Genesis 32:30, it was at a place called Peniel. Now, it was at the brook Jabbok, but the name of the place was Peniel. Lisa Miller, Rob and Tasha Foltz, Ron and Dolores Boffman, Vaughn and Beverly Mills, Justin Mills, Ralph and Wilma Bowman, Tom and Joanne Detweiler, Paul and Joanne Peachy, Arlene Price, Rick and Tanya Valentine, Mark and Deb Rosentrader, and Mark and Linda Householder, all these had the right answer. We're so thankful for everyone that looks up the question. And if you ever need a hint or some help along the way, don't be afraid. Do that. And if you don't get us on the phone, just leave a message and you say, call me back if that isn't right. If you're very unsure, we'll let you know if that isn't. Well, this is the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour brought to you over the Everett radio station, WSKE 104.3 on the FM dial. We invite you to come worship with us here at Clear Creek. We're located a mile and a half south of Everett along Route 26. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30. Worship is at 10:30. Sunday nights and Wednesday nights then at 7 o'clock we have our services. If you're in the Briefwood area, Missy Beal, pastor of the Mountain Chapel Church, invites you there. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship at 10:30, and in Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. In the Fishertown area, the people of the Spring Hope Church invites you there. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship at 10:30 every second and fourth Sunday night at 7 p.m. Then down Hyman Way, Brother Nathan Elliott, pastor of the Glad Tidings Tabernacle Church, invites you there. His worship service is at 10:30. They haven't started Sunday school again yet, but at worship is at 10:30. And then out 26 North, beyond Cottle's Corner a little bit there, the Yellow Creek Church, Kenny Heinisch, the pastor, invites you there. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship at 10:30. This evening here at the Clear Creek Church, the young people have charge of the service. They have some kind of service going on. We're not sure just exactly what they're doing, but always have a good time. And so come out and support them if you can. Maybe you don't have a church that has Sunday night services. We mostly have Sunday night service. Sometimes we cancel, but we would invite you to come out and join us. Now, this is the Labor Day weekend. A lot of people perhaps traveling, going camping. So be sure and keep everyone in your prayers as we go about our daily routine. This morning, I'm going to read from Judges 1 and verse 7. It says, And Adoni Bezek said, this was a king that Joshua captured. He said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. I title my message this morning, Beware of Boomerangs. I don't know if you ever messed around with a boomerang or not. They're not as easy to throw and get to work as that you might think. You throw that thing right, and it'll return back to you, and you can catch it again. Now, it's believed that it originated in Australia, where it was used perhaps as a hunting weapon, that they would throw it and it could curve behind a tree or something like that, and the animal would not see it coming, and it would knock them out or perhaps even kill them. They probably were pretty good at using those things. And a boomerang will come back to you. And so I want to use that idea here this morning in various ways about things that come back to you, to us, and that we need to be careful about. The first thing that I want to think about as being a boomerang is our words. Someone said one time, make your words sweet. You might have to eat them. Well, Job says, how forcible are right words, but what do your arguing reprove? And the writer of Proverbs says, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. The words that we speak. Someone said one time, your 6-inch tongue can slay a 6-foot man. Our words can be very painful. They might be true, but they can be painful. The Lord can bring words to us. If we're messing around where we shouldn't be, and someone preaches a message on adultery or something like that, and you're messing around where you shouldn't be, those words can affect you, but it's the Holy Spirit that takes that word to you. But people speak other words, unkind words, words that they intend that they want them to hurt the other person. The Proverbs again says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver, a pitcher like you hang on the wall. Right words spoken at the right time. Words are very powerful. They're either good or they're bad. Words that we speak can be boomerangs that come back to us, either in a good word returned or in a bad word that's returned. The old saying says that one day the chickens will come home to roost. In other words, the things that we did, and maybe the hurtful things that we said to other people, they will come back to us. We are going to experience them in some way or another. This scripture that I read about this king, how he had treated other kings, and now here he was a captive, and he said, is God's requiring for me what I did to others? And that is so true. God will bring back to us things that we say, that words will boomerang to us. There are people who say things, and what they say may be true, but if it returns to them, then they're not very happy about it, and they get mad, and they reject those very words that they speak to or about other people. There was a person one time that used the phrase, and I don't have any trouble with the phrase, when someone's not doing what they should be doing. Now, if some man out there listening here, and he's not getting up and taking his family to Sunday school and church, then someone might say, well, he needs to pull his big boy pants on and just do what's right. And that's so true. But sometimes people will use those expressions like that, and someone says to them, well, you need to pull your big boy or big girl pants on and do what's right, and they get real mad about it because they don't like it coming back to them. Words come back to us sometimes as boomerangs, and they slap us right in the face. Well, another thing, the boomerang on us is ill-gotten money. Ill-gotten and ill-used money is a boomerang that comes back to us. There was a fellow by the name of Gehazi. He was a servant of Elisha. And he is a classic example of ill-gotten or ill-used money as a boomerang coming back to him. Now, the situation is there was a guy by the name of Naaman. He was captain of the Syrian army. He was a great man, and God had used him. Even though he was not Israelite, God used him as a tool to perform his duties to perhaps punish Israel and others. And it had some good qualities of him. But it says he was a leper. In other words, he had that dreaded disease of leprosy. And so he had captured a maid from Israel. And this maid said, oh, if he could go to the prophet in Israel, he could be healed. Well, he went to the prophet Elisha in Israel. And he asked, he said he wanted to be healed, but Elisha didn't come out even to do anything. He said, just go jump in the river seven times, basically. So he washed in the Jordan River seven times. And he wasn't too happy about it, so he went away. And his men said, if he had told you to do something great, you'd have done it. He said, do something small like this. So he did. And he went and he dipped in the river and he was healed. Well, he came back to Elisha and he wanted to pay him for it. Elisha said, no, you're not going to pay me. And so he went on his way. Well, Gehazi heard Elisha refusing the money. So after he was out of sight of Elisha, he ran after him. And Naaman said, is everything all right? He said, yeah, everything's all right. He said, some people have come. Can we have some money? And so he gave him some money, and he gave him some change of clothes. Clothes were very valuable back in those days. They weren't as plentiful as they are today. They were used as payment often. And so he said, okay. And he gave them to Elisha, or to the Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, and he went back. And when he came back, he hid them so that Elisha wouldn't know anything about it. But sometimes we hide things, or maybe I should say all the time we hide things. We forget that God sees everything. God knows everything. Well, God had spoken to Elisha and told him what Gehazi had done. And so Gehazi was called in before Elisha. Elisha said, didn't my spirit go with you when you went to Naaman? And he said, the leprosy of Naaman is going to be on you from now on. The leprosy, therefore, Naaman, he said, shall cleave unto you. And listen to this. And unto thy seed forever. And he went out from the presence, his presence, a leper, white as snow. Now, we might try and hide our sin, but it's going to find us out. And like a boomerang, it's going to return to us. How many people have gotten money from false pretenses and had it affect them as a boomerang? Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and it returned on him, and eventually he hung himself. We cannot cheat and steal and expect that that is not going to boomerang to us. We can't do things to people and expect that it's not going to boomerang on us. this boomeranged on Gehazi. And you see, it wasn't only on him, but you notice what it said. You'll be a boomer, or you'll be a leper from the rest of your life, but not only that, but it's going to be to your seed, your children as well. Well, another one that I want to talk about, a boomerang, is lust. Lust, the strong desire for things that we should not be having a strong desire for. Proverbs says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell." This speaks of some man that is perhaps lusting after someone that he should not. Men and women who lust after someone that is not their spouse, it's going to be a boomerang, and it's going to come back to them. You notice what it says. The end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her stiff steps go down to death, or her feet go down to death, and the steps take hold on hell. Lust is similar to coveting. It is strongly desire, or make it the main idea of a person's life. Some guys, and even some girls, they see someone and they think so much on them, such a strong desire for them physically, that it consumes them. And they'll do about anything. They just think about it all the time. They'll lust after the appearance of those of the opposite sex. And today, unfortunately, they do it with that of the same sex today. Well, this is going to boomerang upon them. It says, "Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel." Men and women desire the other, someone other than their spouse, and they meet secretly. But the scripture says their mouth will be filled with gravel. The sweetness that they expected and they experienced momentarily is going to be replaced with the cutting and the hardness of gravel. This is a boomerang that will come back on them. Oh, at the time that it is so sweet to them. And they go on and they think it's all covered up. No one knows anything about it. But God knows. God sees. And this is going to boomerang upon them. The third one is social drinking. Proverbs says, "Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it gives this color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. At the last it bites like a serpent and sting like an adder." Now the Bible is clear. Social drinking is forbidding. Many will try and twist the scriptures to make it say what they want so that they can indulge in drinking. But they're like Peter. He said, they twist it to their own destruction. Now, the Bedford Gazette had an article about drinking in which it said they're finding that drinking, even social drinking, is dangerous to your health, even possibly causing cancer. Science is finally catching up to the Bible. Have you ever heard someone try to defend drinking by saying, well, Jesus made wine? And they talk about it with a fermented wine. I've even had some in the ministry try to tell me that Jesus made fermented wine. But they're wrong. Jesus made the finest grape juice that you ever tasted. Fermented wine was not used in communion. People say, oh, you have this fermented wine. You know, you take communion someplace and they have fermented wine whenever they take communion. People say, well, Jesus made that. What kind of wine was it that he made? What was the best grape juice ever? They said, well, the governor tasted. He said, that's the best wine. That isn't what the scripture says. The scripture says when he tasted, he said, you saved the good wine until now. See, even the very words of scripture are inspired by the Holy Spirit. That word good there, it goes back to John chapter 10 where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And good means uncorrupted. And you see, when something's fermented, it is corrupted. That is corruption of it that causes it to turn to a fermented drink. And some people try to say that you use that in the communion service, but there was no fermentation allowed in it. There would be no leaven, you see. That's what causes the fermentation, the rising of the bread. But you see, all through that. And the scripture does not say anything about wine even there. It always says about the cup. And on one occasion, Jesus said he won't drink of the fruit of the vine. See, the fruit of the vine is not fermented. The fruit of the vine is pure grape juice. And so that's going to come back on people. God says it's going to bite like a serpent and sting like an adder. And anyone who thinks that they can get away with social drinking, they're going to find it's going to boomerang back on them. Some people, they can get drunk on just one glass of beer because of the way the system is, their body is. And you see, these preachers that tell them it's all right to social drink, people end up in hell because of listening to their perverted and unstudied doctrine of that. They're going to give an account one day of that. Well, I have to move on. The next boomerang is atheism. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Twice in the scripture it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Many tried to deny the existence of God, and that is going to boomerang back upon them one day. They're going to find that their belief was ill-gotten and ridiculous. Ridiculous. Why do people deny the existence of God? Well, there are several reasons, all of which are going to boomerang back upon them one day when they're in hell. Some tried to deny God's existence so that they can propagate their false claims of the origins of man, evolution. Oh, man evolved from all this here hogwash. He did not. God created man. Some will try to deny God's existence so that they can live wicked lives. See, his existence shows us that man's existence shows that God is the creator of all things. They deny his existence. Some of them deny it so they can live an ungodly life. They don't want to think about the thought of God. Then other ones, there are those who do deny the existence of God because they have suffered disappointments in life, and they deny that God exists because they prayed and God didn't answer their prayer. And they've hooked up to some false religion or fake Christianity, and they were hurt by it. And so they get disappointed and say, well, God doesn't exist. Well, the next boomerang is unbelief. Unbelief. Jesus said, he that believes on him, Jesus, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then again, he says, ye believe not that I am he. You shall die in your sins. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. And then in Mark, it says, he that believes not shall be damned. You know, Jesus said, you believe. There are many today who tell you that it's not important to believe that Jesus is God, that he's the Son of God. But the scripture says differently. The verses I just read to you tell us that belief in Christ as God is critical. John says this, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. In other words, that this man Jesus was God in the flesh. If they don't believe that, they don't confess that, listen to what the rest of it says. That is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. That spirit of Antichrist is in the world. And it tells people that Jesus is a God. He's one of many gods. He is not Jehovah God. And the scripture says any belief that says that, that doesn't accept Jesus as the Christ, the God, Son of God, the very God, it is a spirit of Antichrist. And this is going to boomerang back upon them in eternity. It'll be too late then. These boomerangs that we've spoken of here this morning, the words that we speak, they're going to boomerang back upon us one day. We need to be careful what we say, how we say it even. They're going to boomerang back upon us one day. Ill-gotten money. We need to be careful that we don't cheat other people. Do the best that we can. I was in a store the other day and picked up a couple items, and I went to the desk and I said, I'll lay these down here so I don't accidentally put them in my pocket and walk out of here. And the cashier said, that's a good idea. At least you admit that. And then we have to be careful of other things that boomerang. Atheism will boomerang on us. Unbelief will boomerang. All these things are going to boomerang back upon us if we're not careful. The question you have to answer yourself this morning, ask and answer, am I a Christian? Have I confessed my sin and asked for forgiveness? Have I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to save me? You need to do that. If you're not a Christian, you need to right now say, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus in my life. Will you forgive me, come into my life, and save me? And then you need to get in a good Bible-preaching church and study God's Word, have good devotions, and begin to walk worthy of vocation wherewith you are called. If you haven't done that, your procrastination is going to be a boomerang. It's going to boomerang back on you, and you're going to experience the thump of that boomerang hitting you. Father, I ask that you would awaken the many people out there that are not right, many people that are not saved, that you would awaken them to where they're at and what they should be doing. Help Christians everywhere to recognize, Lord, these boomerangs can affect us as well. I pray it in Christ's holy name. Amen.